Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Me'ilah is daf Tes. Okay? We come off of yesterday's daf. Okay, let's start again from the two dots. I know we did that already, but let's once again capture the essence of the debate as we discussed yesterday. But we started the new parak. We're in the second parak of Me'ilah. Okay, don't blink because we're going to finish it tomorrow, Mirza Hashem. But the second parak of Me'ilah is dedicated to the discussion of Me'ilah by Karbanos. Now, I know we already spent the parak talking about that. That's called the first parak of Me'ilah. But there we were focused more on Karbanos that were done, and there something happened which was wrong with the Karbanos. It was a puzzle Karban. But now our parak is really dedicated to the topic of what if you do everything correctly, and when is there Me'ilah? When does Me'ilah? When does Me'ilah go away? So forth and so on. The topic of the first Mishnah of the second parak talked about Chatas Ha'of. So by Chatas Ha'of, so there are three parts to the procedure. Number one, there's what's called Malika. That's the shechting of the bird. As we already discussed yesterday, it's not really shechting, but it is akin to shechting. It's a severing of the neck of the bird from the back of the neck, not from the front of the neck, using the fingernail of the Kohen Gadol. Not Kohen Gadol, just a regular Kohen. And then step number two is Hazah, and then the blood is sprinkled onto the Mizbeach. And then step number three is Mitsui. And Mitsui is the squeezing out of the remaining parts of the blood onto the Yisod HaMizbeach. And those are the three components of the Chatas Ha'of. The Gemara asks a very simple question, which is a machlokus between the Amorayim. Is Mitsui essential or is Mitsui not essential? Okay, that's the question. Now, from the Mishnah, it sounds like Mitsui is not essential. Why does it sound like that from the Mishnah? Because if you go back over the Mishnah, you look at the Mishnah again, the Mishnah says that once you do Hazah, that's step two, so then, Chayav and Aleh, Mishum, Pigal, Nos, Vitameh, Vein, Ba Me'ilah, there's no longer any Me'ilah. Okay, what does that mean? It means that once you do Hazah, it's over, it's finished. There is a mitzvah of Mitsui to be done afterwards, but that's just a mitzvah. That's not part of the essential of Oda. So that's the simple pshat in the Mishnah. As we learned yesterday, let's see the Gemara inside again. Not the two dots, sorry. We're going to start on Ches Amud Beis, starting with Amar Rav Huna. Okay, right in the middle of the Amud. It's not a big Amud. It's the first word in the line is He. Am Rav Huna, Am Rav Mitzui Chatzos Ovein Ma'akev. So Rav Huna quotes the name of Rav that Mitzui is not Ma'akev. Good. Did Tani Rav? Because when Rav taught the Mishnah, Huza Dama. The way he taught the Mishnah is Huza. That's exactly how we have it. And Rav Adabav Am Rav Mitzui Chatzos Ovein Ma'akev. Utani Rav Mitza Dama. So then the Gemara quotes the name of Rav Adabav, also in the name of Rav, that Mitzui is an essential part of the Avoda. Aye, what about the Mishnah? Okay, change the Mishnah. Well, or not change the Mishnah, but his girsa of the Mishnah is Mitsui Dam. So as I explained yesterday, and we're going over today, so really there's a machlokas in the Mishnah, there's a machlokas in girsa of the Mishnah. Meaning, what is the correct girsa of the Mishnah? According to Rav Huna, the correct girsa of the Mishnah is Huzah Dama, which means that Hazah, sprinkling, is the last essential of Oda. There's something called Mitsui afterwards, but that's afterwards. As opposed to, according to Rav Ada Ba'ava, no, the correct gears of the Mishnah is Mitsui Adam, because that's an essential part of the Avoda. Tashma Vanisha Badam Yimatzel Yisod Mizbeach Chatzasi. We pointed out yesterday, when you read the Pesukim, we went through the Pesukim yesterday, in Perakei of Parshas Vayikra. So it sounds like Mitsui is part of the very definition of a Chatas. In fact, the Pasuk ends with the word Chatas. This is a Chatas, which includes in it the Hazah, which includes in it Mitsui. So the Gemara says, "Vishlam l'Rav Ada Ba'ava hainu dichsi v'nishar b'dam yimatzei chatas hi." So according to Rav Ada Ba'ava, that makes perfect sense. Ela Rav Huna my v'hanishar. But according to Rav Huna, what are you going to do with the word v'hanishar? Tan debei Rav Yishmael she'im nishar. So he quotes Tan debei Rav Yishmael, right, which is a braisa, which is good support for his position. She'im nishar. It does not mean that there has to be blood left over in the bird. It means if there's blood left over in the bird. The Torah is only contemplating, what if there's some blood left over? Then what do? Then you do mitsui. But you don't have to put yourself in a position where some of the blood is sprinkled, but make sure to leave some blood over for mitzui. It doesn't have to be. So she'im risha umay chatasi aresha. And what about the fact that the Torah at the end of that pasuk says chatasi? This is a chatas that's going back to the first part of the pasuk, meaning when the first part was talking about malika and hazal. But mitzui is not an essential part. That's not the very definition of chatas. Good. We went over this yesterday, just quickly reviewing today. So again, the machlokas amarayim, whether mitzui by chatas of is subject to an essential part of the avodah. We continue in the Gemara, where three lines from the bottom of Ches Amud Beis. Now, we're going to make a comparison. It's a strange comparison, because we're comparing a mincha to an oaf, but just in terms of the language of the pasuk, v'hanoseres, that anything that's left over, hachinami she'im nitotar. Now, what do you want to say? You want to say that same pshat that you said by the chatas ha'of. Right? By chatas ha'of, the pasuk says, veha nishar. And we explain that to mean, im nishar. Well, if there's anything left over. So by mincha, right, veha noseres, that's talking about the shirayim. Right? Meaning by every mincha, what happens? Kohen sticks his hand into the mincha, takes out a fistful of the flour and oil, and deposits that on the mizbeach. That's called the komets. What's the rest of it called? Shirayim. Now, is it what are we suggesting? If there's shirayim, that's not a suggestion. Meaning, you need shirayim. And the Gemara makes this point very clear. Hachinami she'in mitotar, v'chitem hachinami. And the Gemara says, and don't suggest that you're correct, that by a mincha, there doesn't have to be anything left over. The Gemara says, but we learned on a braisa. Misalta u'mishamna akol levanta. That solus, you need some of the solus, you need some of the shemen, and you need the lavona. Prasha chasra salta v'chasra shmeina v'chasra lavona. If you're missing solus, or if you're missing oil, or if you're missing lavona, it's by definition not going to be a mincha. So you see that when it comes to the mincha, when the Torah says v'ha no seris, it does not mean if there's no seris, it means there needs to be no seris. And now we go back to the chatas, ha'ov, and we're really going to say the same thing. When it says v'hanishar, it doesn't mean if there's blood left over, it means there needs to be blood left over. So that's the Gemara's question, or yeah, we'll call it a question, in terms of how do we interpret the pasuk by the chatas of. So Amri. So to that the Gemara says it's different. Now it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't turn to any fundamental difference between mincha and oaf, although you could have made such a distinction, but the Gemara just simply says, even from the psukim themselves, Amri hasam ksiv v'anoseres krayisera. The word v'anoseres is krayisera. Now take a look at Rashi, I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now. Rashi explains that it says v'anoseres twice in the pasuk regarding mincha. There is an extra v'anoseres that tells me that the shirayim by a mincha is essential. It's not just simply what if, it means there needs to be no seris. But meanwhile, over here, by the bird, the chatas ha'of, the blood inside the bird doesn't need to be there. If it happens to be there, so then you do this thing called mitzui. Okay. Mesiv avu deshmuel l'ravuna. Echad chatas ha'of ve'echad ola sa'of. So the Gemara now is going to quote a Braisa, and the Braisa over here is going to lump together the Chatas Of and the Olas Of, Shemalkan, Umitzadaman, Chutzim Koman Pasol, Ve'en Bo Kares, Chutzim Zmanan Pegel, Ve'chayev Alam Kares. Okay, the Braisa is very simple. The Braisa says that if you do the bird, and you do the Avoda with one of the birds, either Chatas or Ola, and you have a Machshavas Pegel, either Chutzim Koman, Chutzim Zmano, so then it's going to be subject to Pegel. Now we know, we've gone over this many times, Pigel can only be affected only when you're doing an avoda. Which avodas were mentioned in this braisa? Look back again. Echad olas echad chatzos of echad ola of shemalkan. You did malika umitza daman, and you did mitzui, and you squeezed out the blood. And meanwhile, the braisa says that if I have a machshava during one of these avodas, so it's subject to pigel. Ketani miyat. This is exactly the Gemara's point. Mitzas daman. Good, so, and it says mitzui. So it sounds like from this braisa that mitzui is an essential avoda. If it weren't an essential avoda, so then there would be no machshavas pigel during mitzui. I mean, you could have a machshavas pigel, but it won't mean anything because it's not an essential avoda. So humosev la v'humefarik la. Good question. He asked it, he answered it. How are you going to answer it? Litz dadim ketani. We're going to divide this braisa in half. Meaning the braisa was talking about two types of birds, chatas ha'of and olas ha'of. Now by olas ha'of, there's no discussion. Everybody agrees that by the olas ha'of, mitzui is an essential part of the avoda. It's only by chatas ha'of we're having this debate. So when the Braisa says that you have a machshavas pigol by mitzui, that's only talking about the olas ha'of. It's not talking about the chatas ha'of. Now, it's hard to read that in the Braisa. There's no indication in the Braisa that the Braisa can be divided like that. But the Gemara says, do it, divide the Braisa. And so therefore, we can defend the position of Rav Huna.
But by all that, mitzui is the only thing you have. There's no hazai.
Fine.
That's it. There's nothing else.
Good. Okay. Fine. And that's what we'll do. We'll divide the braisa. Ketani gufa. Let's start him ketani. Sorry. Gufa. Tana de be Rav Yishmael. Right? The Gemara quotes Tana de be Rav Yishmael. Again, you just talk about the choppy language of Me'ila. Gufa doesn't usually lead into the court of a Braisa. Meaning Gufa goes over a statement we made previously by the Amoraim to review and to go over. Meaning if we're just going to court a Braisa, the Gemara opens up with Tanya or something along those lines. Again, just a little bit of a choppy language. Not that I know of. I mean, Gufa Tanya de be Rav Yishmael she'im nishar bedam. Okay, so we quoted earlier in support of the position of Rav Huna that mitzui is not an essential part of the avodah. Either Torah says the word mitzui, so the Gemara quoted Tan de be Rav Yishmael. It just simply means if there's blood left over after the hazah, then do a mitzui. But the Torah does not mean that you have to do mitzui. Good. The Gemara quotes another brisa. Sorry. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Tan de Be'er Rav Yishmael that Shirai are ma'akev, that any leftover blood is ma'akev, meaning the leftover blood needs to be squeezed out on the mizbeach. And Rav Papa explaining this statement of Tan de Be'er Rav Yishmael says Tan de Be'er Rav Yishmael is talking about mitzui, and so therefore what you have is a blatant stira between Tan de Be'er Rav Yishmael and Tan de Be'er Rav Yishmael, where one place he says it's im nishar, if there's blood left over, which means that it's not essential, and here he's calling it ma'akev. Ma'akev means it's essential. So the Gemara says trei tanai aliba de Rav Yishmael. Okay, so what else are we going to say? It's not an exciting answer, but two tanaim are quoting Rav Yishmael. Both of them walked out with different versions of what Rav Yishmael said. In this particular case, it's opposite of one another. And so to which the Gemara says, okay, machlokas, what Tan de Be'er Rav Yishmael said. Good. All right, we start the Mishnah. Now, this is one Mishnah, it's really, if you look in the Mishnayos, in Me'ila, it's a lot of Mishnayos. In fact, most of our day now is going to be dedicated to the learning of Mishnayos. We're going to go through each one of these cases, and what we're going to do is very simple. It's going to be a very organized procedural Mishnah. We're going to go through each and every one of the karbanos that are offered in the Beis HaMikdash and just simply describe, when does Me'ila begin, when does Me'ila end, or conversely, when does Me'ila get off the ground? Meaning, depending on what karban it is and what avodah you've done, we're just going to simply follow. When is there Me'ila, when is there no Me'ila? Okay, it's very simple. Now, our first Mishnah in the Perek, which we already covered, it talks about Chata Sa'of. So what's next after Chata Sa'of? Ola Sa'of. And remember, they usually come as a tandem. I explained this yesterday. And the Torah says that when they come as a tandem, so Chatas comes before Ola. Somewhat counterintuitive. Ola is just one step higher in terms of Kedusha. I only say that because the Ola is totally burnt on the Mizbeach. The Chatas is not. But still, the Chatas always precedes the Ola. Right, we had these rules of Kedima. What was it? The end of Zvachim? Okay. That part I don't remember. Okay, Ola Sa'of Mo'alin Ba. So the Ola Sa'of Mo'alin Ba Meshehuk Tisha. Okay, so we've already gone over this rule many times, but here the Mishnah lays out the rule for us. So from the moment that you're Maktish, the Ola's bird, so now it's subject to Me'ila, because now it's Katshe Hashem. Nimlaka. Now I do Malika to the bird. Again, Kohen has to do Malika to a bird. So once a Kohen does Malika to the bird, Huchshurli Pasa B'Tvoyam Uve Mechusa Kippurim. Now, Uvelina. Okay, let's add that point as well. So the now that Malika is done, so the bird now is dead. Okay, we haven't yet finished the Avoda yet, so there's no Me'ila lifting, or I'm sorry, there's no Me'ila discussion to be had yet, or the lifting of the Me'ila. But now that the bird is dead, So now it's subject to becoming tameh. Remember, a live bird can't become tameh. Once the bird is dead, however, now the bird can become tameh. So if a tful yom, remember we talked about this yesterday, somebody who told them in the mikvah is waiting for nightfall, or mechusa kippurim, a mitzora, a zav, a zava, a yoledes, who cannot offer karbanos or eat karbanos until they bring their karbanos on the day after they become tahor, what's called mechusa kippurim. So if they were to touch this bird, this dead bird, the bird now is going to become tameh. Now the language, I'm just going to reiterate the same point that we made yesterday. The language in the Mishnah that's used is pasul. That means that the tful yom has a very low degree of tumah. Now I would say shlishi, but let's call it shlishi. Why not? Okay, it's like a shlishi le tumah.
You can't call it shlishi because shlishi cannot make
truma.
Right,
but we're not talking about truma, we're talking about carbon. Right? So, okay. So the idea that we're calling it apostle sounds like we're talking about a shlishi. Right. Let's just say the same point that we made yesterday. And also now it's subject to lina, meaning when the bird's alive, so is there a statute of limitations on the bird? No. Meaning the bird, if the bird's not brought today, it could be brought tomorrow. There's no expiration on a live bird. Once the bird now is nimlach, now you're on the clock. Now the bird has to be, the avoda has to be completed by the end of today. If the avoda is not completed by the end of today, right, you're done. Meaning tomorrow you can't do the next stage of the avoda because the bird now stayed overnight. It's no sir. Mitzah dama. Now once you do mitzah, now we're talking about the olah sof. There will be no discussion over here about whether mitzah is an essential avoda or not. It is an essential avoda. So mitzui dama chayav alam mishum pigal nos v'tame. Now the bird can be subject to all your classic disqualifications of a karban. Pigal, noser, and tame, umo alamba. Now mi'ila continues. Now why does mi'ila continue? Because we're talking about an ola. And an ola, it's no hetel of kohanim. Kohanim don't get to eat it. The bird is going to go on up onto the mizbeach and be burnt on the mizbeach. So even after mitzui is done and your avoda is finished, but still there's going to be meal on the bird because the bird still has to be burnt on the mizbeach. Ad shetetze lebeis hadeshen, and meila will continue on this bird until it's reduced to ashes, and furthermore, not even just reduced to ashes, but then removed off the top of the mizbeach to be taken to the beis hadeshen. Okay. Now, let's for a moment just talk about ashes on top of the mizbeach, as that will play a big role in today's daf. Okay, you burn a lot of things on the mizbeach. Daily you burn karbanos, and then all of the people's personal karbanos that they need to bring. There's a pile of ashes on the mizbeach. Rashi over here, somewhere on the daf, quotes that there could be as much as 300 kor of ashes on the mizbeach. Now, how much that translates to in our measurements, I'm not really sure, but suffice to say that is a huge pile of ashes on the mizbeach. Now, obviously, just from a pragmatic standpoint, before we get to mitzvos, just from a pragmatic standpoint, eventually you're going to have to clear off the ashes. I mean, you just simply cannot operate anymore if there's this huge pile of ashes, so there needs to be a clearing of the ashes. We're going to call that from this point forward hotzas hadeshen, the removal of the ashes from the top of the mizbeach. And when is that done? And a simple answer is as needed. Meaning, when the pile of ashes gets too big on the mizbeach, and there just simply is no room up on the mizbeach anymore for any more karbanos, for kohanim to walk around, so therefore there's going to be this mitzvah of hotzas hadeshen. Okay. There's also another component to the ashes, another mitzvah which is done daily. And that's called trumas hadeshen. Now, Trumas Hadeshen, which is the first avoda that's done every morning, what happens? One coin goes up onto the Mizbeach and takes one shovelful of ashes. Rashi describes, a little bit lower on the daf, I'll quote the Rashi later on. Rashi describes how the coin would take, push aside the top layer of the ashes and get to the heart of the ashes and take one shovelful of ashes, walk down the ramp, and deposit this pile of ashes, it's just a shovelful, right next to the east side of the ramp. And this mitzvah that's done every day is what's called Trumas Hadeshen. Now, this mitzvah obviously is not a pragmatic mitzvah, meaning just to take one shovelful off every day does not help you in terms of really removing the ashes. It is a mitzvah, but it's not really, don't look at it for its utilitary purposes. Look at it simply as just a mitzvah that's done every morning. And what does this mitzvah signify? That all the karbanos that were on the Mizbeach were burnt. Once you do Trumas Hadeshen, that is now basically a signal that all the karbanos were burnt. Good. So Trumas Hadeshen is really now the end of burning of karbanos.
Question.
Yeah. Correct.
They would disappear.
Correct. One of the miracles that takes place in the Beis Hamikdash is that you don't have to worry about it. Okay. The Mishnah mentions a number of mitzvahs that occur daily in the Beis Hamikdash. So this be one of them, that they just kind of absorb into the ground. So there are two components, and it's just important to get this clear right from the beginning. There are two components to the ashes on top of the Mizbeach. There's Hotzas Hadeshen and there's Trumas Hadeshen. Hotzas Hadeshen is a pragmatic mitzvah, just simply to clear off all the ashes. And Trumas Hadeshen is a mitzvah, but not for pragmatic purposes. But it's symbolic, and it does indicate we're done. We're done burning all the karbanos. So now when the Mishnah says, Ad shetetze lebeis hadeshen, what does that mean? That sounds more like hotza'as hadeshen, meaning you take the ashes out onto the beis hadeshen. The beis hadeshen is not the area right next to the ramp. The beis hadeshen is somewhere outside of the azara where the ashes were simply removed. They had a heap outside where the ashes were removed to. Now, stay tuned, because when we get to the Gemara, which will be later this morning, we're going to go back and revisit when precisely we're talking about. Are we talking about Trumas Hadeshen? Are we talking about Hotzas Hadeshen? The simple pshat of the Mishnah is that we're talking about Hotzas Hadeshen.
Question.
Yeah.
One of the issues with Meila is that it has to depreciate in value by one pruta. But could you possibly argue that the ash has a value of a pruta?
I mean, I guess. I mean, certainly if the ashes are hot. So then I could use them for my barbecue. Right, I want a barbecue.
I thought ash is like burnt already. It's no longer.
Yeah, but so they're still. I mean, the way Rashi describes it, they're still glowing hot. So I want to make a barbecue, and I'm right now short on fuel. So I'll just. I know it sounds crazy, but I'll walk up on the Mizbeach and I'll help myself to the ashes on the Mizbeach. Perfect. Okay, fertilizer also.
For what?
Fertilizing. Oh. Not that I've ever done it, but that's, you know. Parim ha-nisrafim. We move on in the Mishnayos now. I mean, we're in the same Mishnah, but, in other words, in the Mishnayos, new Mishnah. Parim ha-nisrafim, v'sirim ha-nisrafim. Now, there are certain carbon chatuses that are not usual, not normal. Normal chatus is avodah's done, and then all the meat of the carbon chatus is given over to the Kohen, and the Kohen sits down in the Azar. Actually, he doesn't sit. Stand. Right, al fresco. So he stands outside in the Azara and he eats the meat of the carbon chatzis out in the Azara. Certain carbon chatzis, however, where the entire animal is burnt. I'll give you two good examples. Yom Kippur. The par of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur. The Seir LaHashem of Yom Kippur. They are carbon chatzis. And meanwhile, they are not burnt. I'm sorry, they are not eaten by the Kohen Gadol, but rather they are burnt in its totality. Okay, which means that the blood of such a carbon is going to be sprinkled not only on the Mizbeach, it's also going to be sprinkled on the Paroches. And remember, we're talking Yom Kippur now, so they're going to be sprinkled into the Kodesh HaKadoshim as well. Okay, and they're also sprinkled on the Mizbeach HaZav. Anyway, the point is that these animals are burnt in their entirety. So now, again, our Mishnah is very goal-oriented. We want to know, when did Me'ilah begin, when does Me'ilah end? So the Mishnah continues. Ma'alin bahen mishahuk tishul. From the moment that I'm Akdish, these karbanos, they are now subject to Me'ilah. Nishchatu hukshur lipasa betfulia mechutsi kippur mevelina. And once I shechted them, so now they're subject to becoming tame. Huza dama, once I sprinkle the blood, chayam lemishum pikol nos vetame. Once we do hazah with the blood, so now they're subject to the classic disqualifications of every karban. Pikol nos vetame. Umo'alin bahen bebeis adeshin achiyati chabasar. Now, even when you take him to the Beis Hadeshen to be burnt, and if you remember your Mishnayos in Yuma, this was one of the viewings, right? You want to go watch the burning of these animals. So these are one of the exciting things you could do in the Beis Hamikdash in Yom Kippur. So when is it no longer subject to mi'ila? Only after the meat is on fire. Achiyate chabasar. On fire, it sounds like from the Mishnah, like burnt to a crisp. Then at that point in time, the mi'ila has been lifted. By the way, the common denominator you'll see throughout all these Mishnayos is that once the mitzvah has been concluded, there's no longer any mi'ila. Okay, next. Ha'ola. Now we're on a regular carbon ola. Mo'al and bo misha huktisha. So from when you were makish the animal, now it's kashya Hashem and therefore subject to mi'ila. Nishkata, once you shecht your carbon ola, now it's subject to becoming tame, and it's also on the clock. Mishanizrak dama, once you do zrikas hadam, chayav lam shem pigal nos v'tame, the ein mo'alin ba'oros. Now the only thing that's lifted by carbon ola is the iser of me'ila on the hides. We know the hides of every carbon ola is given to the Kohen who did the avoda with this carbon ola. So therefore, if it's given to him, obviously the iser of me'ila has been lifted. And again, regarding the meat of the ola, and of course all other parts of the ola, which are going to be taken onto the mizbeach and burnt on the mizbeach, there is going to be a din of me'ila until it's reduced to ashes and until it's taken out to the Beis HaDeshen. Moving on. Chatas v'ashem v'zivchei shal mitzibor. The rest of the kachei kadashim. Chatas and asham and the shlamim, the communal shlamim. Now there's only one example of communal shlamim. We're coming up to it. Shavuos. Shavuos, we have an opportunity to bring shal mitzibor. And that's it. The two kivsei atzeres are shlamim, but it's an ad shlamim because they're categorized under the category of kachi kachim. So it's shlamim, which is kachi kachim. Okay, it's a mind bender. So anyway, so by these kachi kachim, which are going to be eaten, so ma'alim behemisha huktashu. So from the point that you're makdish these animals, so now they're subject to me'ila because they're kachi Hashem. Nishchetu, once you shecht it, hukshu lipasim b'tfilyom chutz kippur mevelina. So again, now once you shecht, it's subject to becoming tamei, and it's on the clock. Nizrak daman, once you do zrika, chayel mishem pigal nos v'tamei, and ein mo'alin bebasar. But once you do the zrika, there's no longer going to be me'ila by the meat of these animals. Since the meat of these animals are to be eaten by the kohanim, so therefore no longer it's kachi Hashem. Ava mo'alin bi'imu rehem. However, the innards, the inside parts of these animals that are going to go up onto the Mizbeach are subject to Me'ila, Achiyatzel, Beis HaDeshen, again, until when? Until they're reduced to ashes and taken out to the Beis HaDeshen. Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves of bread that are brought on Shavuos, in conjunction with the Kivsei Atzeres. Mo'alim Be'em Mishah Huktashu. So once you're Makdish, the ingredients, the flour and the oil, to make these loaves, these two loaves, so now it's subject to me'ila. Karmu b'tanur. Once it's baked in the oven, hukshu lipasu b'tfuyam v'chutz kippurim. It is now subject to becoming tummy, because now it is a prepared loaf of bread. Alina belongs in the Mishnah or does not belong in the Mishnah? It's in parentheses. Subject to a debate whether there is an issue of lina. Okay. Another time, we'll talk about it. V'lishchot aleihem es hazevach. V'lishchot aleihem es hazevach. And now that they're baked, now that they were in the oven and baked, so now we're ready. Now remember, with the two loaves of bread, there's no kamitza by these two loaves of bread. So, what's the matir for the bread? And the answer is going to be the kivsei atzeres, right? The two sheep that are offered on Shavuos become the matir for the two loaves of bread. Everything needs a matir. Every karban needs something to matir it. Right? There has to be some catalyst. So what is our matir? The two kvasim. Nizrak damam shel kvasim. So once you sprinkle the blood of the kvasim, chayav and aleim, now you're going to be chayav on it. Presumably we're talking about the shtei halechem, mishom pigalos v'tameh, subject to becoming tameh. It's subject to the classic psulim of a karban. The ain bahem mi'ila. But once zrika was done, there's not going to be any mi'ila. Why not? Because they're consumable by the kohanim. And once they're consumable by the kohanim, they're no longer subject to mi'ila. We're almost done. I know it's a lot. Lechem haponim. Now we're talking about the weekly bread in the Beis HaMikdash. Baked on Friday, put onto the Shulchan on Shabbos, replacing last week's Lechem haponim, left on the Shulchan for an entire week from Shabbos to Shabbos, then 12 loaves in total. When it's taken out next week on Shabbos, so that means it's been sitting on the Shulchan for 8 days, could be even longer, if Yontif intervenes, and then divided, where six of the loaves are going to go to last week's Mishmar, and six of the loaves are going to go to this coming week's Mishmar. Now, by the Lechem Aponim Olam Bo, Mishahuk Tashur, so once I'm makdish the ingredients and subject to Me'ila, Karam B'Tanur, once it's baked, Hukcher Lipasa B'Tvul Yom, over Mechusa Kippurim. It's subject to becoming disqualified, meaning it can now become Tamei, if somebody Tamei touches it. Now, over here, we're for sure not going to have a discussion of Lina. Why not? Because it's not on the clock. It's going to be sitting there on the Shulchan for over a week. So there is no Lina disqualification by the Lechem upon him. So here, not even a discussion. No Lina. And now it's ready to be put onto the Shulchan. Karvu habazichin. Now there are two spoonfuls of Lavona. Now I say frankincense. Does that help anybody in this room? Maybe. I have a jar of it in my house. Of course. So the karvu habazichin, once there were two spoonfuls of frankincense that were placed on top of the lechem upon him. They are the matir for the lechem upon him. So once those are burnt on the mizbeach, chayav nala mishum pigal nos v'tami, now the lechem upon him has now status of karban, mincha. They can now be eaten by the kohanim and therefore the subject to your classic psulim of pigal nos v'tami. Additionally, ein bo mi'ila. Because they're now consumable, they're no longer subject to mi'ila. Ha-menachos. Now I say we're almost done. Now we're talking about your regular carbon mincha. So ma'alam be'em mishuk tishu, once you are makdish the ingredients, they're now subject to mi'ila. Kachu b'kli. Once I put it into a kli, chukshur li'pasa b'tful yom v'chus n'kipurim, Uvalina, now it's subject to becoming Tameh, and it's on the clock. Krava Komets, once you offer the Komets on top of the Mizbeach, that is a fistful of flour and oil taken by the Kohen and burnt on the Mizbeach. Chayav ala Mishim Pigal Nosev Tameh, the Ein Mo'alim Bishirayim. There is not going to be a din of Me'ilah by the remaining part of the Mincha, because now it's consumable by a Kohen. But there is a din of Me'ilah by the Komets, the fistful that is being burnt on the Mizbeach. It is still subject to Me'ilah until until it's reduced to ashes and taken out to the Beis Hadeshen. Okay. And that is it. That is our Mishnayos. There will be one more Mishnah that we're going to see tomorrow. But that is essentially all of our Mishnayos that deal with the din of Me'ilah by Karbanos. Okay, nice, straightforward, simple Mishnah, and very methodical. Now, the Gemara starts off with the following discussion. Hanene me'efer tapuach sha'al gabe ha-mizbeach. Okay. I walk up onto the Mizbeach. There's a huge pile of ashes, which once upon a time were animals, but being burnt on the Mizbeach now has been reduced to ashes. And I go up to that pile of ashes, and I'd like to make a barbecue. And I like some of these glowing ashes, so I take some of these ashes. Did I violate the Isser of Me'ilah? Now, I know that's a funny question, because after having gone through the Mishnah, the answer would seemingly be, of course, what discussion is there to be had? So watch, as the Gemara now is going to bring a Machlokes Amarayim. So Agabe Mizbech, Rav Amarayim Mo'alam Bo, Rav Yochanan Amar Mo'alam Bo. So Rav says, no, there's no longer an Isser of Me'ilah. And Rabbi Yochanan says, there will be an Isser of Me'ilah. Now, before we go any further in terms of discussing, we need to read one more line of Gemara. Lifnei Trumas Hadeshen Kol Yom Lo Pligi D'Mo'alam Bo. Look, we're not even talking about before Trumas Hadeshen. Now, watch, observe carefully, because we just described Trumas Hadeshen. That's the daily removal of ashes from the Mizbeach, and that's just simply one shovelful of ash off the Mizbeach.
But that was early in the morning, right?
Yes.
So
he went up there late at night.
but that doesn't really give you a lot of time.
Now there are
the entire day you're off until the next morning.
Now there are guards, by the way. So it's not this is not an easy mission. to get to the Mizbeach and to get the ashes. There's a whole host of guards around. We're going to learn about the guards when we get to Masechta Tamid. So before Trumas Hadeshen, there is no debate. Everybody, of course, agrees that while they are being reduced to ashes, and even after they were reduced, but they still, the mitzvah is not complete until Trumas Hadeshen. Fine. So before Trumas Hadeshen, we're not even debating. It is, those ashes are subject to Me'ilah. Ki pli ila achar Trumas Hadeshen. But early in the morning, the first avodah that's done is Trumas Hadeshen, which now signifies that we are now done burning the carbon, yesterday's carbon, and now what? Now we have a machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav will tell you that you can go up onto the Mizbeach. Now, I'm not sure if he's condoning. Remember, we always have to make that distinction when we learn these Gemaras. It could be that according to Rav, it's still you're not allowed to benefit from those ashes. It's just that he's pointing to the penalty of Me'ilah. It could be that he's just talking about the penalty, but he's not condoning doing this. Right? Don't try this at home. But anyway, Rav will tell you that there is no Isser of Me'ilah if he goes and takes from the ashes after Trumas Hadeshen. Rav Yochanan says, no, it still is subject to the Isser of Me'ilah. Now, Rav Amarin Mo'alam Bo Hare Nasa Mitzvah So. So we'll start off with Rav, and Rav is really easy to explain. Now, the Gemara in just a moment will point out, our Mishnah does not seem to support Rav, but before we get to that, just in terms of a simple svar for Rav, it's very easy. Look, our basic rule regarding Me'ilah is, once the mitzvah's been done, there's no longer Me'ilah. Okay, by a carbon ola, what's the mitzvah? To burn it on the Mizbeach. What did I do? I burnt it on the Mizbeach. I reduced it to ashes. And I know that we're finished because I did the Trumas Hadeshen, which signifies the end of the burning. So from Rav's perspective, we're done. I know the ashes are still on the top of the Mizbeach, but okay. In other words, there's no mitzvah to keep the ashes on the Mizbeach. The mitzvah is to burn. I did that. So we're done with the mitzvah. So from Rav's standpoint, there's no longer an Isser of Me'ilah. It's very straightforward.
Well, but there's another mitzvah with Sat Hadeshen.
Right. You're right. I'm just explaining Pshuto Shel Rav.
He doesn't consider that an important mitzvah, I guess.
Correct. That's just pragmatic. It's important and it's necessary, but in other words, that's no longer a...
It's not right.
And Rav Yochanan says, no. Because Rav Yochanan says, look, and this basically now speaks to your point. There still is what's going to be called Hotzas Hadeshen. And Hotzas Hadeshen requires a Kohen to wear begadim. And not just begadim, but big de kahuna. And so, Rav Yochanan says, that seems... Why is he wearing big de kahuna? Oh, because it's still part of the avoda. Oh. So Rav Yochanan will tell you that until Hotzas Hadeshen has been done, truth be told, is that we're still in the mitzvah of burning the carbon on the Mizbeach. And so therefore Rav Yochanan says that there will be an Isser of Me'ilah way past the point where Trumas Hadeshen has been done, but only after the ashes have been removed entirely off the Mizbeach and taken to the Beis Hadeshen. Once taken to the Beis Hadeshen, so now we could say it's over, it's finished.
Is there a time limit for a Sat Hadeshen that has to be done by a certain time?
As needed.
So it's an unlimited.
Right. It could. Right. It's like lahavdil, but it's like taking out the garbage. Meaning, I'm just saying. During Yontif, I felt like I was taking out the garbage. Right. Not every day, but on the hour, every hour. Just.
But you don't have to be
liquid. Yeah. Correct. I didn't change out my big day Yontif to take out the garbage. But in other words, it's not a great comparison, but it works. In other words, here also, just as needed.
So the mitzvah is not done until like 2 or 3 days later.
Correct. And because the mitzvah is not yet accomplished, so therefore there's still going to be an Isser of Me'ilah on these ashes. Now, Tanan. And so now, we're going to point to what could be the elephant in the room. Meaning, we're having a machlokes between Amarayim, Rav and Rav Yochanan, in terms of when the Isser of Me'ilah is lifted. But the Gemara says, but would you look back at the Mishnah? Because we made this point a number of times in this Mishnah, again and again. Me'ilah will continue until it's taken out until the Deshen. Right? Until the, to quote the language of the Mishnah, Achetetz Lebeis Hadeshen. Now, that's not Trumas Hadeshen. That's Hotzas Hadeshen. Because Trumas Hadeshen, you're not going anywhere. All you're doing is taking a shovel full, but you're not leaving the Azara, you're depositing it right next to the ramp on the east side of the Mizbech.
But maybe for Reb, Trumas Hadeshen is one of the steps that's on its way out.
So it could be a step, but why would the Mishnah then say, Achetetz Lebeis Hadeshen? The Mishnah is misleading.
It's on its way.
All right, so you're pretty much in line with how we're going to have to defend Rav. So Kai Tanan Ma'alam by Machetz Lebeis Hadeshen Kasha LeRav Amalecha Rav Achetera'e Lebeis Hadeshen. So is he changing the gears of the Mishnah? Is he just interpreting the Mishnah differently? I'm not sure. I'll leave that to you to decide. But anyway, either way, when the Mishnah says until it's taken to the Beis Hadeshen, it means when it's ready to be taken to the Beis Hadeshen. That's what the Mishnah means. Right? We've seen already versions of this kind of reinterpretation of the Mishnah, right? When we talked about Zrika, when it says Achi Ra'u Lizarek. Here also, when it means taking out the Beis Hadeshen, once it's ready. Once it's ready, i.e., I did Trumas Hadeshen, and now we are prepared to take this out to the Beis Hadeshen. Whenever you're ready, at that point, the Isser of Me'ilah has been lifted. Meisvei. Okay, we're now on the top of Tesamud Beis, and the remainder of today's daf is going to be a discussion of which position is more supportable, Rav or Rav Yochanan. Kulan shepakul me'agabe ha-mizbeach lo yachzer. It's very hot on top of the mizbeach, right? But we're burning animals. Now it's not, I mean, the animals are fatty, so they do, I'm sure, add to the fuel, but also we're putting wood on top of the mizbeach, and okay, it's very hot. And so what heat does is it creates energy, and there are going to be things flying off the top of the Mizbeach. And so now what? So let's say there's a limb that flies off the top of the Mizbeach. Okay, so put it back up. Meaning, it flies all the way off the Mizbeach onto the ground of the Azara. Good. So the Kohen's job now is to take it, pick it up, put it back up onto the Mizbeach, and burn it. The mitzvah is to burn it. Now, kulin shepaka me'agabe mizbeach lo yachzir. So the Mishnah Zvachim, which is what the Gemara is quoting now, the Mishnah Zvachim tells us that bones, remember this discussion? Bones that no longer have meat on them, they fly off the Mizbeach. What now? Fine. Bones don't need, there's no mitzvah to burn bones. The mitzvah is to burn the meat of an animal, but not necessarily to burn the bones of an animal. So once bones that are no longer have meat, no longer have marrow in it, and it's just a bone, and it flies off the mizbeach, you're good. You don't have, that does not need to go back up onto the top of the mizbeach. Similarly, says the Mishnah.
We say lo yachzir, you should not, or you don't have
to. You don't have to. I mean, could you? I don't know.
Lo yachzir sounds like more like
you. Right, can't. You're right. Maybe you're correct. And then the Mishnah says, and not only are we talking about the bones, but we're also talking about coals. Meaning, I have a piece of wood that flies off the Mizbeach. Now, there's no mitzvah to burn the wood. The wood is fuel. So, if you have a piece of wood that flies off the Mizbeach, lo yachzer. Here, I'm not so sure, because here, really, the... Okay. We could go either way on that. But anyway, ha agabe Mizbeach yachzer. But... The Gemara makes a diuk in the Mishnah. It's a funny diuk in the Mishnah. The diuk goes like this. If it falls from the Mizbeach onto the ground, so then you don't have to replace it. But if it goes from the Mizbeach, meaning from the pile in which it's burned, and it flies off to another area on the Mizbeach, make sure to get it back to the burning pile. Okay, that's the diuk. Okay, I wouldn't necessarily have made the diuk, but the Gemara does. And the reason why you'll see I'm quivering a little bit is because the Gemara later on will make a different diuk altogether in this Mishnah. Now, Bishlam l'Rav Yochanan, Nicha l'Rav Kasha. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, that's great. Because Rav Yochanan is essentially going to tell you that as long as anything is on top of the Mizbeach, it still has Kedusha. It still needs to be burnt. The mitzvah is not yet complete. So from Rav Yochanan's standpoint, fine. Remember, from Rav Yochanan, when are we finished? when the whole pile of ashes is taken off the Mizbeach. But until that point in time, it still needs to be up there. But Kasha L'Rav, but it is difficult for Rav, because Rav tells you that once Chumas Adeshin has been performed, we're done. So Amlech HaRav, so Rav will tell you, Shani Gachel, Zizbe Mashasha. Look, Rav says, what are we talking about? We're talking about not ashes, we're talking about a pile of coal, meaning a piece of wood. That has mamashas to it. That's a significant piece. So yes, that needs to be replaced. But once it's been reduced to ashes, so then game over, discussion over. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to have this discussion again. Our starting point is going to be that same Mishnah in Zvachim, but now we're just going to simply go in a different direction. Meaning, the diuk is going to be a totally different diuk. Time of Mishum Gachal, Ziz Memashasha. Ha Efer, Dleis Memashasha, Afil Agabe Mizbech, Ein Mo'alambo. So now we're going to go the other way on this Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah says that if you have a chunk of wood that flies off the Mizbech, that you have to put back up onto the Mizbech. I'm sorry. If it's a chunk of wood, so then you put it back, send it back. But if it's just ashes, you don't have to do anything. Now we're going the other way. Bishlam l'Rav Nicha. Now according to Rav, that's perfect, because once it's been reduced to ashes, Rav will tell you it's done. Nasa mitzvah so. El l'Rav Yochanan kasha. It is difficult for Rav Yochanan. I'm the Rav Yochanan who did dafil afer. So Rav Yochanan will tell you, we're talking even about ashes. V'hainu dami dikani gachelas kasha l'shmun dafil gachelas this bein mashasha kipakam agabe mizbech lo yachzer. The Mishnah wanted to highlight a chunk of wood simply because if that chunk of wood doesn't fly from one area of the Mizbeach to another area of the Mizbeach, but rather flies totally off the Mizbeach, I might have thought, and this is a good Havamina, you're talking about an entire chunk of wood, bring it back up onto the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah only highlights a big chunk of wood simply to show you that once it flies totally off the Mizbeach, you don't have to bring it back up onto the Mizbeach. Itmar. Okay. Okay, you know what? New topic altogether. New discussion altogether. We'll stop over here tomorrow. Right? We're talking about who we reimburse the Me'ila to. Totally new topic. Okay, so we finished off yesterday's discussion in terms of whether Mitzui by Chatzos HaOf is essential or not. Comes out to be a machlokus between the Amoraim. Whether Mitzui is essential, the... The Rambam says that Mitzui is essential. Okay. The Bait Chatzos HaOf. And then we started our big Mishnah today. We went through the entire Mishnah. Mishnayos, I should say. In terms of when Me'ila begins and when Me'ila ends by all the Karbanos. We went through more or less every Karban that's offered in the Beis HaMikdash. There's still a couple more to go. That's why we have another Mishnah coming up. And then a debate amongst the Amorayim. The ashes on the Mizbeach after Trumas Hadeshen has been performed before Hotzas Hadeshen, is there an Isser of Me'ila on that? That's a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav says there is no Me'ila. Rav Yochanan says there continues to be Me'ila until the Hotzas Hadeshen. The Gemara fights it out. The Gemara quotes brisos that support either position, and usually machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan, we go like Rav Yochanan. So that means that there will be an Isser of Me'ila until it's taken out to the Beis Hadeshen, which, as we already pointed out, is really the simple pshat of our Mishnah as well. Okay, good. Stop over here. Tomorrow, pick it up right from the middle of the... Rabbi Hananya ben Akash Amar, Sekash Baruch Hu Zakat Sofi, Chachir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenemar, Nei Chafei Tzaman Tziko, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Again, continue Rufu Shlema, Avram...
Rafael
Zaka Avram Ben Yakir Abigail.